Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, don't miss Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks as they go up against the Houston Rockets, presented by Emory Healthcare on Wednesday, January 8th at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale right now at hawks.com/tickets. It is Dukes and Bell. Find us on social media, 929 The Game. That is our radio station. We invite you to find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, 929 The Game again. And then follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show's Dukes and Bell 929. You missed Mike Fisher in the first hour there talking about the Cowboys situation. He says it is not official yet that Jason Garrett is not coming back. It is moving that way, but he says ESPN kind of got out in front of this thing with Ed Waters' report last night. So Fish, who's an insider with the Cowboys, lives there and works in Dallas, says that's not the case, but he thinks it's moving that way, and more importantly, Mike, that where are they going? So, interesting stuff. If you missed it, it'll be on the website at 929thegame.com, and you can check it out at radio.com as well.
I mean, this team has got some talent. I mean, there's a few more things you need to certainly plug in. They've had some injuries on the defensive side, can't keep the linebacker core healthy, but still, you know, and offensively, whenever you watch the Cowboys, because they're always on. You know, they're either on the 4:30 game, or you see them on, you know, Monday or Sunday. There's always some screwy play calling in the red zone. I'm not really sold on Jason and that the old. I mean, might not be there as an OC, but Kellen Moore. Either way, too much talent to be just 7-9.
I agree. We're going to get to an NFL blitz. We'll let you hear from some of the newsmakers of the day. Tom Brady, his team in action wild card weekend, which has not been the norm for the Patriots. Ron Rivera talking about his culture that he's trying to build in Washington. But reports are out that the NFL attendance was down this year. Now we're talking about in stadium, NFL attendance hits a 15-year low, okay? And this report is out there saying the NFL averaged 66,648 attendees at home games in 2019. We're not specifically talking about the Falcons. This is across the board. Cowboys averaged about 90,000, leading the league for the 11th straight year. Not a surprise. But 15 teams, Mike, saw a decline in attendance, led by the Jaguars, an 8.7% drop. The Raiders, they're leaving to the Vegas situation. And then the Bengals. Here's the deal. Why is attendance down in the NFL? But it seems like, apparently, for the first time since, 04 is what they're saying, that attendance is down in this way.
Well, I know that here in Atlanta, you know, we always, part of the reason why you never see games blacked out, and I think it's almost, it's funny, because when I first moved to Atlanta, the blackout was the real thing. And that's where you don't have a sellout, and so the local broadcast, you don't get to see it. You've got to be there at the stadium. That has gone away because so many people bought the PSL, and based on what the Falcons are telling us, every game technically has been sold. The tickets have been sold. That's why they're standing room only. That's why they've got, you know, there's that 400 level, that extra level of black seats up top that come open. So that's why you don't have to worry about that here in Atlanta. But actual bodies in the stadium, I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, I sit in the front row with 342. This stadium's been half empty much of the season. You know, and unfortunately, you know, the one game we really had a vibe, it was that Eagles game, and that's because we had 10,000 Eagles fans in the 300 level. But, Carl, around the rest of the league, I think the big picture here is guys rather kick it on their sofa with free beer and no bathroom lines and just watch it on HD. That they've made the, you know, the in-home viewing experience, you know, so easy, and that's why stadiums have all the bells and whistles. That's why we have the AMG Club. That's why you have all these things that people want to go check out. You and I are old school. All I need is a seat that can fit my butt into at a good angle at the game, and that's all I need. Yeah. But we are the dying breed on that.
I know. And don't get me wrong. When Mercedes-Benz opened, all right, first probably three home games a few years back, we were walking around. We were checking things out. I wanted to see what the stadium was all about. You know, we did events in there with Bud and Bud Light. I mean, I've checked every crack and crevice out of the stadium. But now I'm over it. I've seen it. I get it. I know where stuff is. Let me get to my seat and cheer on the team. But I also think this, Mike, and this is interesting because, again, there is no substitute for winning. Okay? So even though this report comes out and says, hey, attendance is down, we know NFL revenues are up.
Yes. The TV ratings are up. Advertising dollars are up. I mean, we get it. And the thing is, and I hate it because it's almost when you go to it. Another reason, and I don't know if this has something to do with it. When you go to the live NFL game, the TV timeouts are just interminable. you know, the breaks in the action, the video review. I mean, it's as a fan, sometimes you feel like you are the least thought of component in the equation. Like you're being taken for granted as the live. I'm not calling out the Falcons. This would be anywhere because I've gone to Dolphin games recently.
It's all over.
Been up, you know, to Pittsburgh to watch the Steelers. It's everywhere. But the ratings are up. The product is hot. Every top 25 shows are all NFL games.
Right. I just think ultimately, no matter what market you're talking about, if your team is relevant and winning, people will show up.
And again,
people,
if
people will come to
Falcons, games. You know, go off and get on a hot streak, we start the season 4-5-0, then yeah, more people will be rolling in. We have the uniqueness, and San Francisco's got it. You know, and by the way, the Cowboys average 90,000. They almost get 10,000 opposing fans in that stadium. You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Giants fans kind of have owned that place the first couple of home games at Jerry World. And the same thing because the PSL is a new wrinkle. People try to recoup their investment. They'll put the ticket out there. But I've noticed it certainly this year, whether you want to chalk that up to how bad the start of the season was, there were a lot of empty seats this year at the Benz.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with these games, Mike. Bills at Texans.
Ooh. Now, I feel sorry for Deshaun Watson. Because I think you're going to see this guy become a superstar. I mean, truly a superstar. When he's got another coach and another mindset offensively. They've made some, remember, they made aggressive moves to trade. I think Bill O'Brien saw it. Look, he saw a window where I can finally do either, I can do the things I want to do, or I've got to do these out of desperation to try to beef up this O-line. But this is a team that, you know, Murphy's Law, then J.J. Watt blows out his peck. They lose him for half the year. The Texans always have to grind to get into the playoffs, don't they?
They do. And this is why I said if Bill O'Brien loses this game, I think you probably have to move on from him.
What's the family going to do, though? Because the owner is gone.
Yeah, but his son took over.
Does he have a vibe one way or the other for this thing?
Yeah, I think they wanted to stay the course. They didn't want to completely, you know, turn over everything. Mm-hmm. I think he wanted to stay the course. But now you get to a point where I think dad was fed up at the end. And I think that, you know, you have to really look at this. Bill O'Brien has been given everything he needs to win. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk to our buddy John McClain about the NFL. Maybe we'll do it next week if the Texans advance. Even if they don't, he's just such a great NFL guy. But he's been saying this for 2 years now. He's been given everything he needs to win. And if he doesn't get it done against a beatable Bills team, I don't know when it happens. What do you make of Josh Allen, though?
This is his first playoff game. You know, and if you've been watching the Bills for a minute there, it looked like they actually had a chance to beat the Patriots for the division. And, of course, Patriots were able to get that big performance out of Brady when they had to. But the Bills are certainly on the come. It's a team which plays great defense. Josh Allen is a guy that we don't really talk much. We don't see the Bills that often. But, you know, yes, is he ever going to have that super completion ratio? It's gotten better, though.
Yeah,
he is getting better. But he's a guy that, you know, who knows? Maybe at the end of the day, he'll be better than Carson Wentz. You know what I mean? He's getting there. But certainly, he did the job. Run game sort of by committee. But they are there again. We are in the playoffs his first year. Now, how does he handle that on the road?
Bills easily could beat the Texans in this game. Matter of fact, this might be the upset. If you're going to go a chalk and say Patriots win at home, Saints win at home, Eagles win at home, this could be the road upset. Let's talk about Tennessee and the Patriots. Tennessee runs the football. Vrabel, who's the head coach, knows what the Patriots want to do, right? He was a part of that team. He's a part of the staff there for a little bit, I believe, as well. And then he moved on. He was with the Texans before he took the Titans job. But here's the question, because Derrick Henry has been a beast this year. But it comes down to quarterback play in the playoffs. Mike just talked about it with Josh Allen. What about Ryan Tannehill?
Well, you know what? If you had told me that this was going to be the storyline, that he was going to – I thought, again, we always joke around. Once you've had your shot and you blew it, and then you wind up as a guy with a baseball hat the rest of your life. Well, we all saw Marcus Mariota beat us. Okay, bad argument. But we've all seen Marcus Mariota and realized that he is not going to be starting much longer in the NFL for anyone. He comes in, Tannehill, wins the job, and has given them a spark. But they want to run the ball first things first. You're right.
So this is a game. Patriots are a 4.5-point favorite. I just want to point this out while we're talking about the Patriots, because they got to stop the run. Weather could be an issue, okay, in that up there in New England. But Brady's playoff record heading into wild card weekend, it's pretty impressive. When you start to look at this stuff, Saturday's game will be Brady's 41st playoff game. Adam Vinatieri is next in NFL history with 32 playoff games. You talk about experience, been there, done that. And here's the other thing, Mike, real quick. Brady's also starting his 41st postseason game. He had been a part of them. He started 41 games in the playoffs.
They just haven't looked like the Patriots of old. If you watch that Belichick-Saban documentary on HBO, which I think is, again, some people find it a little boring. I thought it was fascinating. But you know when they first sit down, Carl, and this year they win the Super Bowl, he goes, you know, we were pretty terrible first half of the season. We kind of got it together. Guys are doing what they're supposed to do. So the Patriots that year had some really ugly games, but they found a way to get it done. I just don't know. I'm not saying the Titans are going to beat them, but if I had told you, did you know the Titans have got a 1,000-yard rusher and a 1,000-yard receiver?
Yes.
So you got Derrick Henry. Yeah. So they want to run the ball with him, obviously. A.J. Brown, 1,000 yards receiving this year on just 52 catches. So he's getting it, man, averaging 20 yards a grab. And then Ryan Tannehill, we talked about completion percentage. Josh Allen is at 55 and change, or 58 and change. Ryan Tannehill, 70% completions when he took over the job for Tennessee.
And that's been the difference. The quarterback has been the difference with the run game because he doesn't have to throw it 50 times. We talk about this formula all the time. I really like Tennessee to be in this game.
But now, Tannehill has never, ever beaten the Patriots, because he was on bad Dolphins teams.
Bad Dolphin teams. We will see what happens. This is an intriguing game, and if you think, like Mike, the Patriots are what they once were, this is a prime moment for the Titans to go beat them with the run game. Vikings at New Orleans. You just picking New Orleans to run through the Vikings. Kind of revenge factor here for the couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, the game's on the line. It's a one-possession game. Kirk Cousins, two-minute drill. Womp, 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 womp. Just not going to get it there, man. Remember how the Viking season started? They kind of had a mini mutiny where Thielen and Diggs and everybody and then Kyle Rudolph.
Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah. Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph basically all threw their quarterback under the bus.
They did.
And what the quarterback said? You're right. I've got to be better. Okay. Different vibe. But they were able to get into a bit of a rhythm. And then you sort of seen them against some of the better teams not being able to finish. I just think the Saints get it done. I don't know if they're going to cover the spread. It is
4.5.
It's eight.
I'm sorry.
But I'm going to take, if there was a suicide pool, I'm taking the Saints this week.
All right. Yeah, 4.5 for the Patriots, 8 for the Saints. Listen, I'm going to cheer against the Saints every week because it's what I do.
Right.
But I do expect them to win this game as well, unfortunately.
All right, the game that I got to watch it because it's football, Seahawks and Eagles.
Here's the biggest thing. How do the Eagles contain Russell Wilson in the pocket? They don't. And because of it, that is why the Eagles, I think, will lose this game. Seattle goes on the road and beats the Eagles. The Eagles are an underdog at home. At home. All right? So I think everybody's like us, Mike, are looking at this and going, they're decimated. Carson Wentz has been great, but he can't pull this off by himself. And here's the thing. Russell Wilson, like the great quarterbacks, makes everybody around him better. He's had scrubs at times at wide receiver. You go, who's catching the ball? He makes them better. Running backs, decimated. Marshawn Lynch is now back there. They're making the best of it. I just think he does things that other quarterbacks don't do, and that's what he's going to do on Sunday.
And as you guys know, Carl laid it out there, the injuries to their wide receiver core, the top three receivers on the Eagles are not receivers. Now, Zach Ertz is one of the best in the league. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, the back of the other tight end, and then Miles Sanders, who as fantasy owners know, like me, most exasperating player this year in the NFL. So those are the guys that are leading as far as catching the rock. You know, they do it by committee with Jordan Howard, although Sanders has kind of come on strong in the second half. Seattle, as you said, the X factor of Russell Wilson, just creating plays, doing the things he does. So, yeah, I'm with you. If I was going to say, again, they're only a 1.5-point dog on the road, I would go with Seattle. My best bets would be New Orleans, and then I would say Seahawks. And then I'm with you on the Patriots. And the Bills, Texans, for me, is a toss-up.
All right, man, there it is, this weekend's matchups. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. You want to talk a little bit about this, so let's do it while we have some time, and that is the candidates for the 2020 Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I saw this today, and I know that there's always going to be a little bit of confusion about just how does it work with the Hall of Fame, being a first ballot Hall of Famer, or the time you got to twist in the wind as the gatekeepers, a.k.a. the media, decide you are worthy to get that gold jacket. But a couple of names that came up that interested me. One is Zach Thomas. Now, Zach Thomas, I had Dolphin tickets back in the day. He used to come on the radio with us down in South Florida. Great guy. But if you think Zach Thomas is a Hall of Famer, then Jesse Tuggle is a Hall of Famer, Carl. Jesse Tuggle has almost identical stats and actually has even more impactful stats. I got to tell you, Hardy Nickerson, another guy in Tampa Bay who missed out on the Super Bowl window. He was traded by the time that they do get to the Super Bowl with John Gruden. Nothing against Zach. Pro Bowl, they got 6 or 7 Pro Bowls. But, I mean, I got to tell you, if you put Jesse Tuggle in a Giants or a Bears or a, I don't know, an Eagles uniform, he's in the Hall of Fame right now.
I would agree with that. I really do. I mean, you know, it's almost like you have to be good and you have to be extra good when you play on teams like Tuggle did and in a marketplace where you don't get the exposure like some of the other markets on the East Coast. I don't disagree with that. Do we both agree that Troy Polamalu is a first ballot?
Yeah. That's no doubt right there. Throw some other names at you. John Lynch, He's been a finalist seven times. Is John Lynch a Hall of Famer in your mind?
He is to me and has been. When you think about his career, Pro Bowler five times in a six-year span. I always say this, and this is my qualifier, and I've had this discussion with players over the years. If I can look at you and say, was he the best player at his position at any time in his career for a lengthy period, more than 3 years, dude's a Hall of Famer. You don't get 45 years in the NFL. John Lynch was a bowler for a six-year span and one of the best, if not the best at his position, Hall of Famer.
Tony Boselli, once again, this is the fourth time he's been a finalist. Speaking of linemen, Alan Faneca with the Steelers much of his career. Also, Steve Hutchinson, guard with the Seahawks and the Vikings. Edgar and James is in that mix. Sam Mills, and this is the first time as a finalist, again, going back to that great linebacking core with the Saints back in the day. Richard Seymour, former Dog, his first year in there. Bryant Young, former Falcon assistant coach. Reggie Wayne, also in that mix. Difficult names to choose from. Nothing against Zach. I like Zach, but if you're going to put him in there, I just think, man, you can make a case for a guy like the Hammer, Jesse Tuggle.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell, man. That's our NFL Blitz. We want to give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Sometimes you just got to pause. Pause. P-A-U-S-E. Now you need to text that to 72881. That's 72881 from your cell phone. Now, do not text and drive. We don't encourage that. But you do have until now, from now until the end of the hour. That's 3:59 to text the word pause.
Pause. So hit it, man, over on 72881, and good luck. We're going to get Deshaun Tate in here to talk some hoops. There's a developing story.
There is.
As you like to say, involving the Hawks in the NBA.
I think it's a big one, man. We'll tell you about it next. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to spend some time with our man Deshaun Tate here in a second. Talk about our Hawks. They're back in action tonight against the Celtics. Before we do that, though, Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, reporting that Detroit and Atlanta, we're talking about our Hawks, have been engaged in talks on a trade for Andre Drummond. Now, no deal is imminent, but remember the trade deadline is in February. Drummond is going to be moved. He has a $28 million player option for next season. That's unlikely to be picked up. Here's the thing I want you to understand about why this move would make sense for the Hawks. Big picture, okay, and this has nothing to do with basketball. This has a lot more to do with the free agent class is garbage next year, and you're not going to go spend money on guys that you don't think fit. So what the league says is that you are required as an NBA team to spend up to 90% of your salary cap. Okay, that goes into what they call basketball-related income. And what that is regular season ticket sales. By the way, the owners and the players split this, okay? The broadcast rights, the playoff ticket sales. There's a ton of stuff that is incorporated with the basketball-related income. Because the Hawks are not going to go out and spend money in free agency, you pick up Drummond from a financial standpoint, and next year you sign him. That's going to help you get to that 90% of the salary cap because we just don't have high-paid players on this team because we're young. That's from a financial standpoint. Now, from a basketball standpoint, Mike Bell, does Drummond make sense?
Yeah, we need some help in the rim protecting area. I mean, let's be honest. Defensively, well, we don't play defense. 17.6, 15.8 boards, 17, 15. That's pretty good. UConn, dude. I mean, I thought we would just be riding this down to the lottery and we wouldn't be doing anything, but Carl just laid out you've got to add somebody to this, and that's the kind of player we need right now.
You know who it was this year? Parsons. Have you seen Parsons on the floor? Go look at what he's making this year. He's making 20-some-odd million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Hawks were forced in these deals they made in the offseason
right.
to spend toward that 90% of the salary cap.
Now, Jabari Parker's worked out. I mean, again, the John Collins, we're going to talk about this with Deshaun. The John Collins situation just killed us, put us behind the eight ball. But this is, I mean, I got to be honest. It makes perfect sense. Carl just laid it out. There's nothing really attractive for you in the free agent market next year, and this is something we could use. Do you concur, Deshaun Tate, from Tate's Take Sports?
I do, and not only that, but you guys were talking about the lottery, and that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense this year either. I'm watching more college basketball than anybody under the sun, and this whole James Wiseman, you still don't know what he is or anything like that. Anybody else coming on this draft, it's mostly guards, not really good for the bigs in that regards. And, you know, when you start talking about players like Andre Drummond and what he can do. This is a team that's averaging the second most points allowed at 117. So they're really bad defensively, and they're also going to need some physicality to go along with that, and they don't have that right now. And if not nothing else, Drummond can come in and he could contribute if that's the way that the Hawks want to go.
Here's the other part. I know we're a long way from this. It's Dukes and Bell. Deshaun Tate is in studio with us here. We're going to talk Hawks and Celtics and more about Trae Young in a minute in the All-Star game. When we get to be a playoff team, which could be 2 years away, okay? Let's just say we continue to develop. Let's bring in Drummond. And let's say we're 2 years away. The game changes in the playoffs, okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you see some fast breaks and some running, but it becomes much more of a half-court game. And we've talked about this. We are not defending well enough right now to be even considered to be a team that could compete in the playoffs. This would help us tremendously. And I'm arguing with guys on Twitter about this because they're like, he's not a good fit. This is long-term thinking. This is not about right now.
Carl just laid it out for you guys. The money, the aspect of it, how much of your cap you got to use, and who are those big free agents after that you covet? Now, and again, the question is who are we partnering with? How are we making this trade go down?
Well, first of all, God forbid that any of these games, that if Drummond does come in, that any of these games come down to the charity stripe, because he's not a great free throw shooter at all. But outside of that, when you start talking about who you partner with it, there's one guy that I've seen that got second team all rookie last year that did not participate in summer league last year, did not participate in training camp, did not participate in preseason, and was barely ready to go when the season started. And that was the same case for this year. And that guy is Kevin Huerter. But in the same token, it just kind of really depends on how high you really feel that the ceiling is for a guy like Cam Reddish from this standpoint as of right now, and kind of where they are with him in regards to that. But I would imagine it's got to be somebody on the wing, because they've just got way too many people at that position.
I agree, D. And who do you want to develop? You can't find minutes for everybody, correct, right? So you need to figure out, this is Lloyd Pierce's job, who you're going to develop there. And when I say develop, that's not 5, 6, 8 minutes a game. You got to let these guys play. You got to let them get good, and you got to let them get comfortable. It is Deshaun Tate in studio with us. We're talking about the Hawks. The word is out there, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, that Detroit and Atlanta at least have been talking about a potential trade with Andre Drummond.
Well, what do you guys think about Cam? Because, you know, he's averaging, what, 25 minutes? There's times – I've seen sequences where he looks like he's bowed up and he's got the attitude and the edge, and there's times where he just looks sheepish. And, I mean, what is your take? Do you see this guy becoming – because this is, quite honestly, if you talk about Luka and Trey, part of us saying we won this
was him.
Cam Reddish has got to be the man.
Yeah, that is correct.
Or a big piece.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know a lot of people love to talk about how well he plays defensively, and I think a lot of that is – overshadowing how bad he's been on the offensive end. Now, you're always going to have those people to say, well, it took Trae Young some time. He didn't get going until this time around or after the All-Star break. But at least we saw some flashes. We're just now starting to see some of those flashes out of Cam Reddish. He looks more comfortable, and he does look more confident, but I don't think that he still plays with any urgency to his game. He's still kind of out there looking cute, backpedaling down the court and doing some of those things. He's starting to play a lot more under control in regards to penetration and some of those things. But at the end of the day, he is still a guy that you can see with not only the talent and the skill set, but he has the things that you can't teach. That's length, athleticism, size, the ability to maybe be a good defender. He may be a guy that they want to hold on to. We'll see.
All right, let's talk about Trey and the All-Star voting. Surprising? No, right? It's not for us, because we've been watching him.
Mm-hmm.
But is it surprising that he's getting the love around the country that
no.
he is?
No, I don't think so. I'm always going to be one to side with the light-skinned guys. That's just who I am by nature. that's just me.
Okay, yellow man. Zoom.
Yeah, I'm always going to side. I've always liked Bart Simpson. I'm always going to go that way. But I will say enough to say that his style of play and the way that he does it, you know, everybody loves that Stephen Curry type of way, and taking long shots, and he's a smaller guard anyway, so he's kind of somewhat of like a fan favorite. But make no mistake about it, this is a guy that got game. And I want to tell you something while we're on these airwaves. I challenge the fan base here in Atlanta. Like, this guy has to be the sure thing, like top of the ballot in terms of All-Star for right now, because it's about time, after we've long awaited a superstar caliber type of player here in Atlanta, probably the first since Dominique or whatever, in terms of being drafted. This is something that we've got to really get behind, one of our own players, and he's very deservingly so. If a guy goes out there and has to score 30 to 40 points to give this team a chance at sniffing a win, right, he's done every single thing that he possibly can. I just hope that the people here in Atlanta embrace it.
It is our man, Deshaun Tate. Tate's Take Sports, and he is the number one point guard as far as Eastern Conference balloting right now.
Suit me up.
So get him out there. We love DeAndre Hunter. We love the attitude, the experience, and a little more experience because he stayed in a year longer in college. How about his development? Is he exactly where you thought he'd be right now?
Maybe even better than I thought that he would be, honestly. I mean, we always talk about how good of a defender he is, and coming from Virginia, and that's what they do. But one thing that he does, he's consistent. He's solid. He's always going to have some games. I mean, he's a rookie where he doesn't, score into double figures or whatever the case, but he looks like a number four pick for the most part right now. And that's something that we've got to take our hat off to. We've got to give some credit. He has a lot of those same tools that Reddish has in terms of athleticism and length and size and all of those things. The difference is that he's putting it to some use, and I don't have a gripe in the world about what he's doing right now.
It is DeShaun Tate talking NBA with us. Celtics tonight. All right, so listen, I'd love to see our team play as well as they did in the second half of last season.
No doubt.
Okay? People forget, we weren't great in the first half of last season. It was last year in the second half where Trey started to get all the love and people started to really pay attention. Can we? Because that kind of starts like now, January, February, right? You got to kind of get rolling and get some momentum. Do you think that the continuity is there to have the success we had last year in the second half this year?
Can and will is two totally different things. One reason that I will say that it is more than possible, at least to be better. You know, I know that it might not be much to say, you know, much to sneeze at or anything, because it can't be much worse than it is right now. But we haven't seen this team yet, outside of being so injury plagued, that's one thing that we've seen. And then the whole Collins situation, we haven't really had a chance to see them grow and develop and establish a chemistry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We haven't had that opportunity to see that yet. The unfortunate part about this team is that they're not tanking. Like, this is a team that's trying to win, and that's what's making it look kind of bad right now, just being honest, on top of the 2 10-game consecutive losing streaks that they've had. But this is also a team that has 7 top 10 picks on the roster. So, you know, in that regards, they have some talent that's there. It's youthful talent. It is sprinkled in and mixed in with some veteran experience. But part of that veteran experience is Vince Carter. And even him, I think, has been logging a little bit too many minutes.
I was going to say, too many minutes. And we talked about it, Carl, while you were on vacation, that Lloyd Pierce also struggled at times with,
no doubt,
you know, inbounding plays and trying to come up with some stuff late. The Cleveland Cavaliers game kind of sticks out of your mind as a game we let get away. I can think of about 9 or 10 games if John Collins is healthy that we could have won early.
For sure.
But now it's almost like this thing's got to build a momentum of its own. DeShaun Tate's with us in studio, guys. Talk about Andre Drummond maybe coming to Atlanta. And a couple guys hitting us up on Twitter. Bo Estes, my old buddy from Turner Sports, writing, Carl, we're the 27th worst team as far as rebounding, and Drummond is number one in that stat. Real quick, while we got you, because D, obviously you cover college hoops.
No doubt.
How do you think about Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, and you know, who knows how the ping pong balls go? Is that a guy you'd be interested in?
Probably not, especially with the way that Trae Young plays, especially, you know, when we're looking at the system and the way that this thing is being orchestrated. It almost kind of reminds me of trying to put Colin Sexton and Trae Young on the same team almost. I mean, Ant-Man is a ball-dominant guard.
So he's one more than a two.
Yeah, he's more of a combo guard. He's definitely not a one. Could it work? I mean, we can try and see, but I don't think we want to just throw things up against the wall and see if it sticks, at least not at this point. And again, we have so many wing players and guards, you know, that are on this team. That's probably not something you want to look forward to trying to see if it'll work.
No, he couldn't beat Klay Thompson.
I don't think so. I think that he has a scoring mentality
right,
of somebody like a Klay Thompson. But I just think that he comes with something a little bit different. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, like Klay, who when he was coming out of Wazoo, it wouldn't surprise me to see him take a backseat to another guy. That's not who Ant-Man is.
Okay.
I don't sense that. Now, 19 points, averaging 5 rebounds. I mean, that's good for a guy his size. You know, he's underrated defensively occasionally, but the impressive thing about him is that he's only averaging 2 turnovers a game, and he is the primary, you know,
scorer
and ball handler on that team. But Georgia right now on a 3-game winning streak, and that's including SMU when they play them. You know, they only had 1 loss on the season. Now they got 2, but it's going to be a struggle for Georgia coming up. They got 2 top 10 teams coming up this week. They play at Memphis without James Wiseman on Saturday. Kentucky, Lexington's coming to town on Tuesday, and then they go on the road at unbeaten Auburn. So we're going to learn a whole lot about Ant-Man and what he's all about soon.
Don't be surprised if Auburn's back in the Sweet 16, Elite 8, that they're really good. Anthony, take more shots. That would be my advice. Good job, DeShaun Tate. Give me your Twitter address, man.
At Tate's Take Hoops, TateStakeHoops. And remember, people, go out and vote for Trae Young. This is very important.
Vote early, vote often, vote Trae. And again, read DeShaun on our blogs. He does great stuff on college hoops. If you're just tuning in, we got on this whole conversation. Wojo, Adrian Wojnarowski, reporting that the Hawks and Detroit are trying to put a deal together to get us Drummond.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to. We got some guy talk conversation coming up. Dogs and what a move by a big tight end making the decision to come to Athens. We'll tell you about that in the 4 o'clock hour. Plenty to get to here on a Friday edition of Dukes and Bell.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Lots of stuff going on today. Mike and I are in here talking about Drummond and the potential trade. More on that coming up next hour with Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. If you're just joining us, reports out there, Detroit and Atlanta talking about a potential deal for us to get Andre Drummond. Nothing is imminent. Also today, talking a lot about the NFL and what's going to happen this weekend, wild card weekend, the coaching changes, all a lot more to get to. But right now, it's time for some guy talk, man.
Hey, man, brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. All right, you know, I was down in Jamaica for a couple of days, and then, you know, we had our vacay. We hadn't worked together for 3 weeks until I saw my man here yesterday on the program. So a lot to get caught up on. When I was flying back from Jamaica, and, you know, it's a really cool laid-back airport. You got, you know, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, a lot of places that have a good time. Get on the plane, and, you know, I'm getting ready to board the plane, and they, passenger so-and-so, they call my wife's name and a few other passengers. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe because she's got extra points and everything because she's a frequent flyer. Uh-uh. It was that extra special screening.
Oh.
Yes. And one of the guys that got called up was a guy I just happened to be talking to at the time. This is a guy named Jimmy who works here in Midtown, actually, works for a banking company. And he also got popped for the random extra screening. And I said to myself, wow, this is taking a long, long time.
Self, this is taking a long,
and I'm
long
saying,
time.
And as I walked by, and 20 minutes we were waiting to board the plane, and it was late taking. I have nothing to do with Delta. This is all on Jamaica's end. And as I was getting on the jetway, you know me, Carl, after I've had a few pops, you've seen me be belligerent at the airport with TSA.
I have, yes, this is true. I'm not going to lie, a little scared that you might get arrested, but that's neither here nor there.
So as we're walking by the people going through this very slow, excruciating search of the bags and the people's person, I go, just want to know who I'm going to complain to about this. And Becky looks at me with those eyes, will you please just get on the plane? Shut up, shut up, shut up. So I get on the plane. The only reason I bring this up is I'm thinking like, wow, I mean, this is a pretty easy flight. It's, you know, it's a tourist destination. What's going on here? The reason I bring this up, in the AJC today, the officers with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection at Hartsfield-Jackson apparently have had a very busy holiday season. Since November 27th, 20 pounds of cocaine.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yes, 4 separate smuggling attempts at the airport, according to a news release, which the AJC has just posted. They seized cocaine, an estimated value of $280,000. But the reason I found this this article intriguing is many of this coming from Jamaica, man.
Oh.
So apparently it's become a way station. 3 of the incidents involving travelers arriving from Jamaica, man. December 23rd, officers intercepted more than 3 pounds of cocaine packaged inside coffee bags.
Well, it covers the smell up, according to Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours. Was it 48 Hours? No, yeah. Beverly Hills Cop.
The Blue Mountain Coffee.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because remember, 2 years ago in Jamaica, they confiscated my football. Remember, of course, I was... We drank all the, you know, what you do in Jamaica. You drink to the last possible minute. You get on the cab. You go to the airport. Going through customs. She goes, would you please come with me, sir? And I'm like, hey, I'm going. It's like Midnight Express, honey. They're taking me away. Because my wife's freaking out. I go, what's the problem? She goes, we need to examine your football. I'm like, what? So they deflated my football, x-rayed it. Again, maybe now we realize there's a burgeoning drug business down there. So what happens? I wind up back in America with a flaccid pigskin.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse than being flaccid, Mike. But I'll say this. You can hide cocaine, allegedly, in almost anything. So I'm not surprised. I know there's been a history over the years with cocaine, hell of a drug, being moved from Jamaica, you know, through the United States, obviously, but it doesn't surprise me. I will say this, though. You feel intimidated if you have to get that extra search. If that's ever happened to you where you're on the plane and then they call you, that has happened to me, and I felt like I was being violated because I thought I had really done something wrong, and then you have to, you know, they're searching you, and they're going through your stuff, and they're asking you additional questions, and you really start to think like you've done something. You're feeling guilty. Is there something wrong here?
Well, that's like the old Chris Rock joke he used to do about when he get first time he get pulled over, and he goes, is this your car? And Chris Rock's like, you know, I've been making movies and I've got millions of dollars in the bank. And you get so intimidated by the police. Maybe I did steal this car.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did something wrong.
But anyway, now you know why you're going through that. If you are coming out of Montego Bay, because apparently a lot of people are trying to get the funny stuff through Hartsfield-Jackson. All right, guys. Up in Massachusetts, A palm reader was charged with theft for allegedly telling a woman her daughter was possessed and then taking over $70,000 from her to perform an exorcism.
Okay, wait. It's one thing to tell me that my daughter's possessed, but why am I paying you 70 grand to remove the demons?
Probably because you live in Fall River, Massachusetts, and you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
All right.
Tracy Milanovich, 37, operated Tracy's Psychic Palm Reader in Somerset, Mass., been charged 6 counts of obtaining property of over $250 by trick larceny and over $1,200 in witness intimidation. Police launched an investigation after a woman came forward and said she tricked her into handing over large sums of money that, in fact, her daughter, who has had medication for bipolarity, is, in fact, possessed by a demon.
Now, listen, I'm not laughing at bipolarity. That's real.
That's an existence. You got to deal that chemically, yes, not through an exorcism.
That is real. I am laughing at the fact that this woman handed over large amounts of cash to have the exorcist done.
Now, again, but if you are going to go through an exorcism, you must have an exorcist. That would be a Catholic priest. You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find somebody who's familiar with it. This woman had been in business, as I said, initially in Fall River, which is that's a tough neighborhood over there on the other side of the bridge from Rhode Island. She operated for 10 years. To me, this is about as dumb as the Long Island Medium. You ever see that stuff? People go bananas for the lady that can, you know, she can. And I've seen this. She was at the Fox Theater a couple of years ago.
You went?
No, God, no. It was one of those nights that we stumbled into Miranda, which is a great Italian restaurant here, not realizing that the Long Island Medium was at the Fox. And we're like, oh, for crying out loud. And it was funny because some of the waitresses were telling us, interesting, they had operatives walking around the restaurant asking a lot of questions.
Oh, really?
So, in other words, when you get called up on stage, and let's be honest, you got to be a simpleton to believe in this. You believe in? Don't tell me you believe in this.
What are we talking about?
Come on. When she goes, okay, did your father's name start with an R, a T, a P, an L, an M, or a J? Yeah, his name was Peter. That's amazing. I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, people, they give themselves up, and they just give up the information. And to me, it's the biggest con in the world.
I do not
believe in psychics.
All right, if you're asking me about psychics, that's one thing. And speaking of that, we should get one in studio and have them read you, Mike.
Fantastic. Yes.
We should have them read you.
Guess what? I had my palm read in Budapest back in 2006. She said I'd be dead by 50. Ha! I'm 51. She got it wrong. So anyway, Carl,
I
don't buy that for a second.
The psychic thing, I will say this. Now, I thought you were talking about spirits. The spirits is different.
My wife grew up in a house that the Confederates, they retreated through from Gettysburg, and they're supposed to be at night. You hear footsteps and all this
stuff.
I never heard a thing.
You've never heard it?
I went to Vicksburg with my dad. I've been to Shiloh. My dad was supposed to get there before the sun rises. You hear the ghosts and the gunshots. My dad, we're there like a half hour. My dad goes, you hearing anything? I'm not hearing a thing. And meanwhile, people 20 yards away are swearing they're hearing the whole
battle.
They're
hearing everything.
Head.
Now, spirits are different for me. The psychic thing, not so much. I'm with you on this, okay? And I've never gone to a psychic. I think I've told this story. My wife's grandmother went to a psychic as a kid. I want to say she's early teens.
Right.
And speaking of her death and all of that.
Right.
And the psychic told her when she was going to die, what age she would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 2 years before she ends up passing away, literally in the month and the same week in which the psychic told her. She moves to be with her son, which is my wife's dad, closer to him. And the whole premise was, why is grandma moving closer? And she said, well, you know, in a couple of years, things will probably change for me. She never told the story until she got close to death. And then she told this story.
Didn't it become a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, I've told this. And she died the week and the year in which the psychic said she would. I think she was 86 or 7 when she passed.
Now, again, I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I just don't believe in it. I just, again, like aliens. If there's aliens, why are they always talking?
Oh, they're aliens, Mike.
Why do they always talk to the dumbest people in our country?
There are aliens, Mike. There's no way we can be alone.
Coming up, the next version of Guy Talk. Some unbelievable things in sports happen on this day. We'll fill you in about 5:40.
92.9 The Game's fourth annual Game Bowl. Guys, it's our paper football championship. It is back Saturday, January 25th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. 128 players competing. Entry is free. You can go register right now on our events page at 929thegame.com. We'll come back. The Dogs get a big commit. We'll tell you about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.